Ladies and gentlemen, toy soldiers, unicorns, and of course, missile launching Tyrannosaurus Rexes. I don't know. My name is Jared, and with me is, well, actually, I'm by myself today for this two-top episode. Anna's been really busy, and so, you know, the show must go on, though. So I will be your host for the episode. I am so honored and grateful that you've joined me here at the game table. Today, I will be looking at Toy Battle, designed by Paolo Mori. And this is crazy, I didn't even realize we were doing 2 weeks in a row with Alessandro Zucchini. He also did Australis from our review last week. Artwork created by Paul Maffeon and published by Repos Production. Toy Battle is a two-player area control, try and take over your opponent's castle gateway game that is both family-friendly and offers a bit of strategy for those who want a little more meat on the bone. Players recruit an array of toy soldiers in various different formats, all the way from rubber duckies to skulls and toy soldiers to unicorns and robots and even that missile-launching Tyrannosaurus Rex. You have a tactical requirement to make sure that you are paying attention to all of your opponent's moves, because even in this 15-minute filler, if you mess up, well, let's just say Becky the Unicorn might not be coming home. But to make sure that we get as many toys back home as is humanly possible, let's start with how to play this game. All right, so the goal of this game is to win in one of two different ways. Either you are going to make a row or line or whatever. It's not really a row. It is more of a line or a chain. I think chain's the right way to put it. Of soldiers starting from your base, making it all the way across the battlefield to your opponent's base. If you are able to capture the enemy's HQ by putting one of your soldiers on their base, then you'll be declared the victor. But that is not so easy to do. And so there is an alternative method, which is also not easy to do, but another way to win. Scattered throughout the battlefield are a number of medals. And if you are able to claim that area with a certain number of troops, then you are able to collect those medals and put them towards your total. Each battlefield, and there are eight of them, have a different medal count. But once a player reaches that number of medals, then they are also declared the victor. There is a third way that the game ends. You are recruiting and bringing in new troops throughout the game, but they are limited. If at some point you are not able to play, then at that point the game is over and the medal count will be counted based on what the players have currently collected. And whoever has the most medals will win the game. Now, how do we play this game? Well, like I said, there are eight different boards. And so each player is going to get a rack, a wooden rack that they're going to use to hold their different tiles. And you're going to place one of the eight battlefields in between you. Each of these battlefields has a number of different spaces where these toy soldiers can go. You basically are trying to chain along the map. It's essentially different spaces. They are all connected because, like I said, you do have to create a chain from the beginning of your HQ all the way to your opponent's HQ to be able to win in that fashion. It is also how you determine how to spawn new units in, because you can't just place units anywhere. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So each player gets a rack. The first player is going to pull three of their soldiers from the face-down pile and add them to the rack without their opponent seeing. Then the opponent is also going to draw, but they're going to draw four because they're going second. Play goes back and forth with players playing down their various troops as they decide to do so. Now, when you place troops, they do require that you are able to draw a line, a connected line, from your HQ out to where you want this troop to spawn. So I can't just go dropping troops anywhere I want to. I have to start also by connecting that line. And most maps do have the option for you to connect in multiple different ways out of your HQ to be able to create different paths as you see fit. There are a variety of different troops, and most of them have a special ability. I am going to go ahead and go over them just so you kind of have an idea. These are numbered 1 through 7, and there's a Joker. So the Joker is the rubber duck. His name is Quack. The specialty about Quack is that he can be placed on top of any enemy troop, but any enemy troop can be placed on top of Quack. Now, why is that important? Well, In addition to being able to just summon your soldiers into any old empty space, you can also summon your troops on top of another enemy troop or your own troop, and then be able to take over that space. The rule is, though, unless you're Quack, you have to be able to be a number that is higher than the current troop played. So if I played a level 2 toy soldier, then my opponent would need a level 3 or higher toy or a Quack to be able to play on top of my soldier. Now, we could go back and forth. I could play a level 2 soldier, they could play a level 4 monkey, and then I could play a level 6 unicorn, then they could play a level 7. Like, you get the idea. They can go back and forth. So that stat can keep going up, but then you're not focusing on other areas. So that's Quack's special ability. Next is Scully. He's level 1. He is a skeleton. His special ability is pretty cool, though, where he gets to draw 2 extra tiles from the pile. Now let's talk about that. Normally, you are taking something from your rack and you are placing it face up on the board. But you're going to run out of troops. You're only allowed to hold 8 at a time, but you are going to need more. So you might be able to draw more with Scully's ability, or you could choose, instead of placing a troop, to decide to pull 2 more troops from your pile of troops. You could choose to pull 2 more troops from your pile. Next up, we have Cap'n, who is the toy soldier and is level 2. Cap'n is awesome because when you play her, you also get to play another tile from your rack. Level 3 is Jumbo. He can destroy a visible troop that is connected to him. Fantastic ability. Really changes the way that you decide to go about your strategy. Number 4 is a very quirky one in my opinion, and I still haven't necessarily found the best way to use him, but I have definitely found some uses where it's been pretty good. This is the toy monkey, and it is a pirate monkey, and his name is Hook. Now, because he's a monkey, he does not follow the connectivity rules and can be placed anywhere on the board. The problem is, I can't just drop him down next to my opponent's HQ and then drop another toy. I still have to connect back to my HQ. But there are specific uses in which case he can be very helpful. Next up is a robot, XB42, and he removes random toys from your opponent's rack, which slows them down and can potentially take out some of their best stuff. Number 6 is Star. That is a strong unicorn toy. And in addition to being a level 6, it also gives you the ability to draw 1 tile from your toy soldier pile and add that to your rack. And then finally, we have a level 7 T-Rex. It has no ability, but it is a level 7, so it is insanely strong and can help manage the board for you. So these are the different types of troops. They are very different, but also in some ways work together. And using their strategies effectively are important when learning how to navigate the battlefield. So you're drafting and playing and going back and forth until one of these victory conditions are met, and that is the game. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about the game itself. I was really surprised by this game. And I will say, like, it's super cute. It is almost to its detriment cute. Because you look at it and you're like, well, this will be fun to play with the kids. But I'm not so sure if it's a good game to play with adult friends. But I was very wrong. We sat down one night to try it out. I'm going to talk about one of the places that I feel like this game fits in really well. We were sitting down to finish up. We were finishing up a game night and we had a little bit of time and it was just me and one other person. And I was like, hey, I've got this new game I want to try. Do you want to try it out with me? Well, sure enough, we got into it and we could have played just 1 or 2 rounds, which I will say the box is very accurate in the 15-minute time frame. But we played several rounds of it and were immediately hooked. And we could have kept going if it wasn't already so late. But we kept going, do you want to play one more? The game has a very addictive feel to it, even though you are playing the same game over and over again with, I don't know, how do you describe it? I guess like gateway feel, I guess. Like it's very simple. It's very simple as far as learning the game and getting the game to the table, super easy to do. But then when you start going back and forth and you start seeing it play out, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I got to really think about what I'm doing here. I'm not just throwing down some toys here to make a line, I'm also really having to think about what they're doing. And I love that you can pack a nice tactical back and forth in 15 minutes. One of the things that I really enjoy about it is that you do have to adapt to what you draw. And I know that can be a detriment. It can feel like, well, I didn't draw anything good and my opponent's got several strong pieces already on the board. What am I supposed to do here? But we have had instances where a bad draw did not necessarily cost them the game. It was more of an adjustment of strategy to where you don't get as aggressive and you kind of hold the line and continue to pull and try and find your reinforcements. So I really like that as well. We also were kind of laughing at Quack before we started playing our first game. But then you start to see the value of Quack, where Quack can come in and really slow your opponent down, because even if they can't hold the line forever, Quack is slowing down the progress and keeping your opponent from continuing to advance along the line. The other thing that I want to applaud this game for, and it's not in a huge box, but it manages to pack in 8 different maps, and they all have their own fun little rule adjustment. And the other fun thing is it's like each one is the quote-unquote home world of one of the 8 soldiers. So like there's a swimming pool for Quack, there's a battlefield for the toy soldiers, just all kinds of stuff. There's a unicorn, there's a a city of clouds for the unicorns. So there's all kinds of stuff, and each one has their own ability. My personal favorite, and several in my game group, the graveyard, because it has the ability to bring your dead soldiers back to life, which really kind of changed the dynamic. And that was definitely our favorite map, but there's a lot of them that are really good and really change things up. It's subtle, it's not huge. Nothing about this game is necessarily mind-blowing, but I think it's just a really fun game as a fun little filler that I can play with Anna at the end of the day when we want to get a quick game in, that we feel satisfied and feeling like we got to do something with our brain and really engage, but it didn't take too long. That's the other thing too. Like the fact that it's 15 minutes, you can have a bad draw, go for something crazy, and even if it doesn't work, you're resetting within 15 minutes, which I think is just incredible. If all that wasn't enough, you also have the fact that the box says that it's 8+. I haven't played it with Joy yet, who's 7, but I have no doubt that she could play it. It's very accessible. I think a lot of families will enjoy this. I think if there's anything that I would hope for an adjustment on it, it's not even, this is just, I think this is just the gamer in me wanting more. I would love an expansion that gives you new troop options, but also I would love if you could create, and something like a Battle of Hoth or Memoir does this, or Star Wars, the deck building game, where you can bring 2 copies to the table and make it a 4-player game. I would love for something like that with this, because it is so accessible and it is so family friendly that to be able to get the whole family involved instead of just 2 people at a time, I think would be awesome. I'm not smart enough to figure out how to make that work, but I think there's definitely potential for it. So I hope that's something that we see in the future, because this, I mean, to me, the way the box is set up, like they have 2 weirdly rectangle sized tuck boxes for the soldiers to sit in when you pack the game away. And it just feels like there's a lot of empty space for those tuck boxes. Like there could be expansions coming that would add more toys. So we'll see. Overall, I really don't have a lot to critique on this game. Every game that I've played has been extremely close, and I've never felt like just out of it in a way that I was like, if I could have done this or this. Even getting close to the end, there's this interesting dance of how you finish the game up, because your opponent's always very aware how close you are, whether you're getting closer to the HQ or you have a high medal count and you can see where the medals are on the board that are still available. Learning how to be tactical and a little bit sneaky with your play is one of the fun things that I've had trying to figure this game out. So no real complaints. I would definitely recommend this one. Good for kids, good for families, good for those who want to be able to have a good game that fits into the filler category when you're kind of between games, or if you're waiting for more people to show up or whatever that may be. If you are completely against luck, or you're completely against any kind of randomness, then that is something that you need to consider, because there is going to be randomness in this game. It's part of the draw, and I really think it's built into the game itself. It's not just a luck versus unluck thing, but I understand how some people would see it as, well, I just didn't get the draw I needed, and you did. And that kind of cheapens the other player's win. It also is like, well, you could, I mean, I get it. You want those high numbers, but you also can change your strategy a little bit. So all that to say, highly recommend Toy Battle. We'll put links down below for where you can check that out. And I would love to hear your thoughts on the game. Please, if you have any kind of feedback, whether it be about this game, podcast, or anything else that you want to discuss, please reach out to us. I'll have links for that in the description as well. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, liking this video, subscribing to YouTube, following us on socials if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for cover art, to Anna Snyder for the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chislin for how to play background music. Join us next week as we head over to the feature table where Ian and I discuss Batflip Dynasty. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.